do now.
The million endless solitary nights.
This is DJ Shadow, and you're tuned into 90.3 FM, CKUT, Montreal.
Magandang hapon! Ako po si Omilani, nakikinig kayo sa Radio Kapwa, sikat 90.3 FM, where all Filipinos are Filipino enough.
Magandang hapon, bon après-midi, good afternoon. You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, and this is Radio Kapwa. Franz Stoner here, co-hosting with Desiree Ruiz. We're sending our love to Veronica Bertiz, who's feeling a little bit sick today. So we feel you, and we're sending you all these healing vibes. Want to say thank you to Fenny and Laura, who are here, making sure we sound good, but also shouting out Riz on our team, who's going to be working on some music. He actually just had a little stint at the hospital, so he's another Kapwa we're sending some good vibes to. And, you know, just in the background, we have Eloy and Martin, who are our guest coordinators. So again, thank you to the folks. You know, you hear my voice, you hear Desiree's voice, you hear Veronica's voice, but it's actually a whole team behind this operation, and we just want to extend our gratitude to them all. So I'm really excited for today's interview. We will be having a beautiful conversation with the talented Omilani Alarcon. She is a visual and performing artist, a poet, a scholar, and the founder of Latinegras and the Afro-Filipina brands. So welcome, Omilani, and please introduce yourself to our audience. We're so happy to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me. It is definitely an honor to be here. I'm glad that I had a chance to visit you all, you know, all the way from Miami, you know, first time deep in Canada. And it was such a beautiful, warm welcome. And as many things as I do here, it was lovely to be in the company of people who, like me, like have their hands in so many aspects of creativity and scholarship and all of the above. So it was nice seeing reflections of myself out there. So thank you for having me today.
Yes, of course. And just to give some folks some background, you know, in October, Sainte Kapwa had a conference called Kapwa Rising, Healing, yes, and Hoping in the Face of Anti-Asian Racism. And you were a last minute addition, right? So it's so funny how I think ancestors, creators, spirit kind of bring your community together, right? Like that's the power of Kapwa. So funny story, Fenny is actually here. Fenny messaged, because my social media engagement is kind of on off, inconsistent. I mean, mom life, community organizer life. So, you know, sometimes you see things go by and sometimes you don't. And Fenny messages me like a week before the conference and is like, Afro-Filipina is going to be in Quebec. And I was like, what? What do you mean? So he's like, yeah, like we saw this post, she's going to be in Quebec. And right away I like slipped into Omilani's DMs and I was like, hi, I heard you're coming to Quebec. So that was so funny. Yeah, go ahead.
Like even to drive that point even further, I almost didn't go, you know? And I wasn't sure if I wanted to travel, there, you know, for various reasons. One, I was in Paris the whole month and I didn't know if I wanted to go straight into another trip, but one conversation with you and I was like, that's it, I'm getting the ticket. So as soon as I got off the phone, I got the ticket and I'm so glad I did.
I love that. And you know what? Let's get into that. Let's talk a little bit about, so you were already planning on coming to the province of Quebec.
Yes.
You had so as I said at the beginning, you know, you're an artist, but you're also like a scholar.
Yeah.
So can we kind of contrast what you did in Quebec and then what you did with us in Montreal and like how those different experiences were, right?
You know, I think it's important to note, I was at a conference, an Asian studies conference. The interesting thing is that I was the only Black person there. you know? And there are so many of us Afro, not just Filipina, but, you know, the whole Asian diaspora has so many people, you know, like of the African diaspora too. And I think sometimes we don't show up in these spaces for various reasons. I mean, it took me a long time before I felt comfortable too. So it's not always easy, but I think it is a necessity that we have to begin to break down those walls and barriers and know that, yes, we do belong there too, you know?
Yes, absolutely. That Afro-Asians exist, you know, and not necessarily like mixed race, you know? Yes, right. Absolutely. You know, folks like Desiree and I are raising mixed race children, and we're always in that conversation of like, how do we make sure they feel seen and heard, right? And that's, I think, also why I also have a soft spot for you, because I'm also raising a part Latino kid, right? So yeah. I thought it was so cool when you came that like he got to see that representation. He got to see other Filipino, Latino. He calls himself Salvipino sometimes. So I think that's like super fun. But yeah, making sure that we honor all these different identities. Des, I think you were trying to say something.
Hi. Welcome, Omilani. Hi, everyone. This is Desiree. I'm so happy to have you here, Omilani, and hear your story. And I love also hearing the how ancestors guided you to us. And for those of you that are listening to Radio Kapwa for the first time, yes, we mentioned ancestor guiding or being led by our ancestors a lot. But if you listen to older episodes, you'll know that a lot of people that are, you know, in our community or even on our team have been led through ancestors. And it's just so amazing to hear it again. But yeah, I'm just like, I'm reading your bio and it's so long. And there's like, as friends mentioned, it's like academia and then art. But I'm just always curious about, you know, where did you grow up? You know, like where did you grow up? Maybe like, I'd love to hear a little bit more about where you grew up and a little bit about that experience, which then led you to academia and to your art or vice versa, whichever came first.
The villain origin story.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I spent a lot of my childhood in North Carolina, but I also grew up, I guess the fair answer to that is, all around the world. So I went to school in many different countries. I mean, even before I got into like college, like I went to language school in Costa Rica. I went to school in England, in France, in so many places in the world. So I feel thankful to have been exposed to so many different cultures. And this wasn't just like a week or two. I had a chance to live with families of different cultures too. So I think being in those environments also changes your perspective of the world and how you adapt to different people. You know, I think that's why I feel like there's more that unites or connects people than makes us separate. And that's also one of the things that gives me the understanding that you can have a love for yourself and your culture and still embrace others in that process.
I love that. And did you grow up, exposed to the Filipino community?
Oh, yeah, I did. But, oh, man, the community I grew up in was very conservative, you know? And it wasn't easy. My dad grew up kind of separate from, my dad is the Filipino one. He grew up kind of separate from his side of the family. I recently reconnected with them. So I found them during the pandemic. So it was interesting because he was by himself, but still made sure that we were involved in the culture. And then when I reconnected with my family from the Philippines, I realized how much we actually had in common. And it made me really look at this idea of nature versus nurture in a whole different way. Because there were things that are instinctive, or there are things that were personality traits that when you grow up in isolation of people, you know, how is it that you still do these things exactly the same as if you were together the whole time? So, and then I also have to know that I was living in an area where there were not many Filipinos, So the only way we did see each other was through the Filipino Association. And I tell this story sometimes about how, like, when I would go in those spaces, I would get these mean looks. Like when I was a child, you know, I would get these mean looks, you know. My brother and my dad were okay. But then when I came in the room with this kind of hair, you know, with my features, people look at me like very oddly. I didn't understand it. And at that age, I always thought that it was because I didn't have my Filipiniana dress. So most of my life, I grew up like I couldn't wait until I could buy me one of those butterfly sleeve dresses. And then people would know I was Filipina, at least in my mind, you know?
Hey, Omalani, Fenny here. So yeah, you know, it was I was really happy when you joined the panel for our Kapwa Rising conference. You introduced, you know, a really great perspective that I had never heard before. And even just from your, I guess, the last things you were just talking about, you kind of already addressed a question that we always ask our guests is, you know, we ask them like, you know, like, what ways have you been told you weren't Filipino enough? Or like, how have you felt that? And yeah, I know you addressed that at the conference. And now you just talked about that too. So yeah, I guess just wanted to bring that out there that it's very important for those conversations to be had.
Definitely. And it wasn't just the looks, you know, it's also the mean things people say. And it didn't stop once I became an adult, you know. I'm talking about even now, people still say the rudest, nastiest things that I would never say to another human being. You know, how do you look somebody in the face and say, you know, we're so proud of our Filipino culture, you know, and they look at you and say, no, you're not. And like starting this page, Afro-Filipina, really opened my eyes to some things, because I used to think that it was just us Afro, you know, like just because I'm Black. But when I found out that people who are born of two Filipino parents have the same experience where people tell them things like that, you know, I felt like we need a space of healing. I mean, yes, of course, my focus is on like the Afro-Filipino population, but we all need healing in this diaspora because we deal with those microaggressions. We deal with people who say those things. And this whole gatekeeping of Filipino identity is very hurtful, you know? And we need spaces where people feel that love, you know?
Yeah, and it's not just hurtful, it's harmful, right? Like I'm a mental health professional and now we're seeing like the decades of the thing with a microaggression is that because there's the word micro in it, people misunderstand that it means that it's small and not as impactful. But when we say micro, micro actually means the level, right? So micro, mezzo, macro. So micro just means it's been this individual interaction. But when that interaction of you're not enough happens continuously, it's kind of like this wound that never gets to heal, right? That keeps getting hit again and again. So, you know, some folks might be like, oh, who cares if someone told you you don't look Filipino? Yeah, but if someone's been telling you that ever since you were born at every Filipino event, like, of course you don't feel connected to the culture. You know, I think one of our plans for this episode, you know, because as folks know, we pre-record them, is to play this also for Black History Month and to take up that space. So this might be a little bit more of a difficult question, but Omelani, can you speak a little bit more to the anti-Blackness in Filipino culture? Right? Like, let's be real about it. Let's have that conversation of we have deep-rooted anti-Blackness in our culture.
I mean, it's huge. And it's been going on for a while, but I find it to be an odd contradiction because if we are being blunt, if we are being real, we have also heard people say, well, okay, you can cut it out if you want to. But we have heard people say from time to time, oh, Filipinos are the Black people of Asia, or, you know, stuff like that, that we hear people say. But globally, Black people are some of the most maltreated people. You know, a lot of oppression has been done against Black peoples, you know. So I think because of enslavement, I think because of, you know, in the United States, or let's say the Americas, these systems of segregation and things like that, that sometimes people might feel a stigma being affiliated with Black community and things like that. There's a lot of negative stereotypes that don't truly reflect who we are as a people. I was watching a documentary and some said it had to do with the soldiers who were there. And some people felt like they abandoned the children, you know? And I think that is also unfair because it's not the children's fault. And then there's a lot more involved. When you have something like military, you can't decide, you know, where and when you go all the time. It's just a very dense, complex subject and issue that I don't know can be addressed in just a couple of minutes. But the anti-Blackness is real. From the time when people tell you don't go out in the sun because you will get dark, you know, from people wearing umbrellas outside in the sun, you know, from the skin bleaching being in everything from soap to lotions, from hair straightener. Somebody gave me some shampoo and it had hair straightener in it from the Philippines.
OMG.
Yeah. And lotion, regular lotion. It had skin bleaching. It had bleaching agents in the freaking lotion. Regular.
Yes.
Yeah.
I learned that when I went to the Philippines. Like, I think I like went to the esthetician just to like get my legs waxed, and then they always moisturize you after. And I learned that you have to ask. You have to ask, like, what is this lotion? What are you putting in it? Because they automatically give you.
Yeah.
The bleaching one. And one thing I find interesting too is like here, you know, like I follow all the like Montreal Filipino Facebook pages just to see what's going on. And now I think there's actually this thing where when you post about whitening creams, it actually flags it as harmful because it is like a racial issue, right?
Yeah.
And then you have these like mga bagong dating who are like, hey, where do I buy this papaya soap now that I'm in Montreal? And the thing gets flagged and they're like, wait, why is it getting flagged, right? So it's like, it's really this deep, deep, deep rooted thing that we need to address. And I agree, we definitely don't have enough time for it. But can you speak a little bit to your Magandang Itim response? Like, I just think this is such an important way to kind of tie the bow mm-hmm. on this conversation.
Yeah. And I have to always put the disclaimer that I think that, like, what Asia Jackson did is so important. You know, there is a need to uplift, you know, the Morena, like, you know, Magandang Morenex, like I'm there with you. But even in a simple Google search, there are not people who look like me. Even if my skin complexion is Morena, my hair, my features, they are Black. There are people who are in the Philippines now who are Black, and communities who get punished and who are maltreated because of their Black features, who are told they're ugly because they are Black. Like, we need upliftment for both, you know, because when we watch these movies, they glorify the white skin and these half white, the actors and things like that are not even looking like the general population of Filipinos right now, you know? So I say Magandang Itim, Black is beautiful, because I think we also need to know that Black is beautiful. And everybody cringes when I say it, and nobody has joined the trend, but I don't care. It's not a trend. I'm not doing it for popularity. I'm doing it because we need to uplift Blackness. Magandang Itim. I'll keep saying it, even if I'm the only one saying it.
I love it. Des, maybe when we post all of our Black History Month interviews, we need to hashtag them all Magandang Itim.
That's right.
100%. And thank you for saying that out loud and to our listeners. And like you said, I'm going to push that on marketing as well, because we need to hear it, right?
Yeah.
I write lunchbox love notes to my daughter, and I literally write, I love your brown skin. And I'm like, and she's a mixed race kid, but I'm like, that those are words that I wish I heard growing up, or I'm still coming into that. And we need to say it. We need to say, I love Black skin. I love brown skin, because nobody's saying it or nobody has said it. And that's wrong. And realizing that it's wrong, and realizing again, the anti-Blackness in our community, and also the proximity to whiteness that we all have so deeply inside of us, like naming that as well. Yeah, we can talk about this for hours.
I know.
Literally, when in 2019, I organized this conference called Pinay Power. And we had these t-shirts that just said like, like Filipina feminist or something. And then it said like loud, brown and proud. And there were literally titas who were like, what is this t-shirt? So imagine pushing it further to like loud, loud, black and proud. They're going to like have a heart attack. Right?
Yeah. Cause when I don't know if you have seen my logo, but on my logo at the bottom of it, it says Magandang Itim. And so my products, like my bags and stuff like that, people always stop me about my bags cause they love the artwork. And then when they read the bottom, I have it on video because I go out and do interviews and stuff like that sometimes too. And they were like, Magandang Itim, what do you mean? So like, yeah. And there's one more thing that I think is important to say too. The anti-blackness in the Filipino community made me feel like I 100% did not belong. It made me hate that side of myself. It made me not want to be Filipino. To the point, and France, you know, with your background, maybe you know the cycle, you know, analysis of this, but it was traumatizing. Like to see Filipinos, like I would avoid, or I didn't want anybody to affiliate me with being Filipina. And it just triggered a response in me that it began to be a point where it was like sickening. You know, like
absolutely. Well, yeah. It's essentially the internalized racism that makes us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically sick, right? Yeah. Because when you look a certain way and you're supposed to belong to a certain, you know, culture and group of people, and that actual group is rejecting you and gatekeeping culture, like it creates deep, deep, deep seated psychological wounds, right? But I think, again, like the response to that is your individual loob work, right? Like we have to work on ourselves, but also the balance of doing the kapwa work, right? Doing the community work, finding the safe people who get it, that you see yourself reflected in. And even if you don't see yourself reflected in, that see you and honor you for the complexity of your identity, right? We also talk about this with queer Filipinos, you know, of like them not feeling enough. So I guess a perfect way to kind of wrap this up too is, in response to that, then like, what does the importance or like, what does kapwa mean to you in response to this kind of journey?
Well, you all talked earlier about ancestors, and I 100% feel like my ancestors led me back here. And one day I can tell you this story because it is so deep. Like when I say that, you know, like it's really deep how they led me back to my Filipino identity, even though I didn't want to come back, you know? And it just lets you know that being Filipino, first of all, is not a term that we even chose. Somebody told us we were Filipino, you know? And there was a point in time historically when our own people, you know, from the islands for generations were not even considered Filipino. You know, that was the name that was used to talk about the Spanish, you know what I mean? But how do we combat those kind of things through community and things like that? I think when you do find your community and like finding the right community lets you know that it is not about how you define like microaggressions has to do with the individual. You meet the right community and you find out it's not about these individuals who tell you what you are not. We are because of our ancestors. You know what I mean? There are communities that are there and support us. And when we embrace the fullness of who and what we are, you know, it makes us shine differently. You know, it makes us walk differently through the world and it makes us more whole. You know what I mean? Because you can't cut your Filipino blood out of yourself. You know what I mean? So it's better to love who you are completely.
That's so beautiful. And this world will convince you not to, right? Yeah. So you have to fiercely respond with deep, deep, deep self-love. Oh, that's so beautiful.
I just wanted to add, I wanted to say this earlier, like the shout out to your dad, because you are saying your dad, I forget the quote, I'm so bad with repeating quotes. But you said he had no one or no support, but he made sure that we always knew about our culture. And that, like, when you said that, that really hit because, I mean, my parents came and I was integrated, but they really tried their best. But I just wanted to be like everybody else, right? And so just hearing that, it just made me, you know, take a minute to Think about your father. And that's hard, as French just mentioned, you know? We live in a society where they're like, no, forget about your culture. They want to erase everything so that we assimilate to where we are, to the Western way of thinking. So just shout out to anybody who resists that, you know, to keep us together. And that's also ancestor guided, in my opinion.
Definitely. Yeah, well, we would have collard greens and pancit.
Like, I love that.
In our house, like, we always make, like, an ulam. So, like, let's say, example, chicken adobo. And then one night, we'll eat it with rice. And then another night, we'll literally, like, make tacos with the chicken adobo. That's, like, what happens in our home. So, I love that. Omilani, last words for anyone in our community not feeling enough or specifically towards the Afro-Filipino community. How to connect, how to feel better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wow, that's a tough question because I know how it made me feel. So to tell somebody, keep pushing through. The reality is when I didn't have the right community, it did feel like, why put yourself in situations that are toxic for your well-being? You know, but I think the good thing that we have is social media. We have internet. So your community might not be right there where you live, you know? People used to tell me this when I was younger, that there are progressive, like, dope communities out there. So I would tell people, keep pushing on, but insert yourself in those spaces where you don't think you belong to. Because, like, at that conference I was telling you all about, where I was the only Black person there, don't let anybody else tell you that you don't belong there. Keep making your presence, you know, speak loud. Like, we have to keep pushing forward, because this thing about the invisibility of Afro-Asians is real too, you know? So the way that we move past the invisibility is by showing up. It's not always easy, but if you are a soldier and a warrior like me, you know, then we have to push through and get out there.
I love it. That's amazing. So if the table wasn't built for you, find the strength to pull up the chair and take up that space and sit down anyway. But also build your own table. Go to the tables that welcome you is what I'm hearing. And I think that is so, 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 so wonderful. So thank you to Omilani Alarcon, Afro-Filipina, Latinegra, wonderful artist, but also scholar, for being with us today. It was a wonderful conversation. Merci d'avoir été à l'écoute de Radio Kapwa sur les ondes de CKUT 90.3 FM tous les mercredis de 2h à 3h de l'après-midi. Bon après-midi!
Miami Pinay, yeah, we up in this Baha'i. Hallo, hallo, pride. And it's lit tonight. Lit tonight, hey, hey. To all my hollow, hollow people out there, let me hear you make noise. Let me hear you make noise. To all my hollow, hollow people out there, let me hear you make noise. Let me hear you make noise. Feeling lit like a mug, hollow, hollow peanut. Brown skin, curly hair, yeah, I'm Filipina love. Don't judge until you try it. Tagalogs to be science. Clear as the day, like magandang tanghalik. I just love us, yeah, the way we be. Hello, hello, sweet. Hey, baby, that's me. Don't call me half for parts. Gave my whole Pinay heart. I do this for my people, and my people is my heart. Ba-boom, ba-boom, boom. Ba-boom, ba-boom, boom. I just said it like, I'm a grandchild, I'm in and out, warrior people, rebellions in my blood, and I still could be sweet, though ice is nice, like what you like, rice, though hollow, hollow, feel it. To all my hollow, hollow people out there, let me hear you make noise, let me hear you make noise. To all my hollow, hollow people out there, let me hear you make noise, let me hear you make noise. Best of both worlds, I'm a walking hall of fame. Got it in my blood, it's a Filipina thing. On a roll like a jeepney, I'm so Manila fly. Ain't nobody dope as us, it's a Filipina vibe. Cause I love us, yeah, the way we be. hello, hello, sweet, hey, baby, that's me. Don't call me half or part. Gave my whole peanut heart. I do this for my people, and my people is my heart. Ba-boom, ba-boom, boom. Ba-boom, ba-boom, boom. I just said it like that. Wow. I'm a grandchild, I'm in and out warrior. People, rebellions in my blood, and I still could be sweet, though. Ice that's nice, stick with you like rice. So, hello, hello, fit to all my hello, hello people out there. Let me hear you make noise. Let me hear you make noise. To all my hello, hello people out there. Let me hear you make noise. Let me hear you make noise. Feeling lit like a mug. Hello, hello, peanut. Brown skin, curly hair. Yeah, I'm Filipina love. Don't judge until you try it. Tagalog's to be science. Clear as the day, like magandang tanghalik. I just love us, yeah, the way we be. Hello, hello, sweet, hey, baby, that's me. Don't call me half or part. Gave my whole peanut heart. I do this for my people, and my people is my heart. Ba-boom, ba-boom, boom. Ba-boom, ba-boom, boom. I just said it like that. Wow.
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Marvin Reyes. I am a youth leader and community organizer here bringing you Impano News back home in the Philippines. The article is from Rappler with the title, Davao de Oro Landslide Death Toll Climbs to 54. The number of people killed by a landslide in the southern Philippines has risen to 54, the provincial government said on Sunday, February 11, as rescue workers dug more bodies from the mud. The landslide stuck on February 6 near a gold mine in Macau Town in the province of Davao de Oro, burying homes and vehicles ferrying employees to the site operated by Apex Mining. Davao de Oro's provincial government said in a Facebook post that 54 people had died in the landslide, raising its previous death toll of 37 earlier in the day as rescue workers found more bodies. The tally of missing people stood at 63, with the provincial government saying the number remains unverified. A total of 32 people were injured in the landslide. Edward Macapili, an official at Davao de Oro, said over 300 people were involved in the rescue, but operations were being hampered by heavy rain, thick mud, and threats of further landslides. Rescue work resumed on Sunday morning, Macapili said. Asked if there were still survivors, Macapili said it was already unlikely, but the search would continue. The rescue team is doing its best, even if it's difficult, Macapili said by phone. Torrential rains have battered Davao de Oro in recent weeks, triggering floods and landslides. The article was published on February 11, 2024. Thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. Once again, this is John Marvin Reyes delivering you Philippine news from abroad.
I remember when they told me I didn't belong. That was way before I had this shame.
Black and brown. so dark. This is for the Afro Pinays and Pinoys who've been told you don't look Filipino at all. Those who get those unwelcoming stares when you walk in the door. It used to hurt me so bad, but I can't even feel it no more. Don't let no one take your sunshine away. So black and take the sunshine away. We are beautiful and melanated, divinely created. Afro Pinay, we so fly, it's amazing. Afro Pinay, we so fly, it's amazing. Afro Pinay, we so fly, it's amazing. Shining, shining, we shine together. Remember that. I shine, you shine, and we shine together. We so brown, so beautiful.
It ain't a question. Oh, it ain't no one for guessing. So more than emotionally invested, showing you all my imperfections. Oh, if I let you, don't take me for granted. Yeah, if I'm worth more than you could manage, manage, yeah. Open with me, oh, we could be honest. Closer to me, oh, giving me silence. That you won't let me fall. Holding me tight, loving me right, giving me life all night. You could be telling me lies, making me cry, wasting my time the whole time. So just be careful what you take for granted. Yeah, 'cause with me, no, you could do damage. You could do damage. Yeah, worry about it, I'm putting pressure. You'll only cut me if I let you. No, we ain't doing this just for pleasure. Either learn me or I'm a lesson. Going on. If you want me, don't take me for granted. Yeah, if I'm worth more than you could manage, baby. Oh, you're falling for me. Oh, baby, I caught it. Whatever you want, call it. Promise that you won't let me fall. Oh, oh, oh. Holding me tight, loving me right, giving me life all night. You could be telling me lies, making me cry, wasting my time the whole time. So just be careful what you take for granted. Yeah, 'cause with me, no, you could do damage. You could do damage. You could do damage. Oh, you could do damage. Oh, you could do damage. Yeah. Oh, you could do damage. Yeah.
walking in circles down the hall, waiting for the girl he's been cursing on all these years, pacing on his cell phone for that call. Never really happened, so he went to bed and broke down into tears. Oh, settle down there, she's out there somewhere. Kathleen, a new boy, treating him like her own toy until he gets rotten, so then throw him at the side. Poem at the wall, pretending it's her, cause she made him write all his deepest fears, acting so gentle like a doll. Down the stairs she was caught, but it's not what it appears, but it's all pretty clear. Kathleen, a new boy, her own toy until he gets rotten, so then throw him with the sad boys, trying to find her new one, thinking that he's all so fun until she's forgotten and treated like the sad boys. He left her blue with a sigh, and heartbroken boys left with so dry, with nothing else left to say but it's a goodbye. Kathleen, the new girl, treating her like their own toy until she gets rotten, they'll then throw with the sad boys, trying to find them a new one, thinking that it's all for fun until she's forgotten.
Star. my friends. Otherwise, I'm alone. Don't know much about psychology. My degrees are in streetology. Ordinary, ordinary guy. Afro-Filipino, average sort of guy. Salsa!
Stay up tonight, stay up at night. My green lights in your body language. Seems like you could use a little company from me. But if you got everything and figured out like you say, don't waste a minute, don't wait a minute. It's only a matter of time.
Stuck in my feelings involved. She stopped returning my calls. The flaws turning to walls and barricades. And I'm too far gone in all the wrong ways. And every long day is a bad one. I can't make you call or make you stay. I take you off a pedestal. So I get lost in modern music, watching movies, talking to the walls in my room. Walking through the halls in my head, just trying to make sure it all makes sense. I ain't made of money, maybe someday you can take it from me. I'm up too late.
Three nights at the motel under streetlights in the city of palms. Call me what you want when you want if you want. And you can call me names if you call me up. Three nights at the motel under streetlights in the city of palms. Call me what you want when you want if you want. And you
witty, got a bag right. I feel like I was Cleopatra in my past life. People try to count me out, they clearly couldn't add right. I might not know everything, but bitch, I know that's right. Click a bad bitches with me, it's gonna be a good night. My niggas ain't in movies, but they always seem to act right. Turn a grown man into a baby with this not nice. He gonna make me call a plumber if he got that bad pipe. I might break the internet this week. See, these bitches ain't fucking with me. Why? Why you bitches always in my business? Icy. The type of bad bitch you never killing. Never. I mix that yak with kombucha. Got good karma and good karma sutra. Photographers all up in my face loving me. Binoculars, I'm looking all around, but who can fuck with me? None. Tie my shoes up, I'm going on a run. I could put your nigga with no makeup in a bun. My gay homeboy said, bitch, don't leave no crumbs. Wait, I think I heard some. I was just them bitches at the bottom who ain't worth nothing. I can't hear nothing sitting pretty at the top. Get my phone, yeah, it's time to call the shot. My residency popping pre-gaming out in Vegas. At the Usher show singing, there goes my baby. 2,000, that's what's worth these nails. A bitch paid for fake reports on my first week sales. I just got a jumbo double fat back from Chanel. And I'm grade A, but haters wanna see me fail.
It's in me, not on me. I'm married to the game.
For real, huh? But fuck it, let me take my time. Like the DMV, I make you niggas wait in line. Look at my vibe and my spirit, ain't no taking mine. Nope, made millions and I still got plenty more to make. I got the whole fucking world on my shoulder blade. My last EP was like, you hoes, just a throwaway. I took shit over before, it's time to run it back. If it's a race around these hoes, shit, I'm running laps. Got a new condo in London and got London on the track. Ayy, yeah, I'm popping big shit. And about my business, investing all these riches. But I need a foot massage. I'm tired of shepping all you bitches, for real. And I'm back full throttle. I know y'all bitches wish I would go model, but damn. Girl, the mood board is back. I know your glam teams miss me. I ain't even mad. Copy and paste, ho. I'm the inspiration. Pretty bitch music. Mwah. Pretty bitch music.
Bonjour à tous. Welcome back. This is Fanny Cristo, and you're listening to Radio Capua on 90.3 FM CKUT every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m., where we highlight Montreal's Filipinx community and culture. And this month, we are celebrating Black History Month. Shouts to our guest today, Omlani Alarcon, a.k.a. Afro-Filipina. We first met her a few months ago at the Capua Rising Conference, and she's been a great supporter of Centre Capua. Much love goes out to you, Omlani. Speaking of love, today is also Valentine's Day, so shouting out everyone celebrating. Now, let's get into our community announcements, and it looks like it will be a busy week full of events. First off, tomorrow, on Thursday, February 15, in celebration of Black History Month, the Frigo Ver is hosting an in-person workshop, including a food exploration session that delves into Black cuisine, culture, and history through community cooking, followed by a sit-down family-style dinner. It will be from 7 p.m., along with guest speaker Jamal Hussein Spence from Expensive Cuisine at 1440 Rue McKay. Register now by checking out their Instagram page at Le Frigo Vert and Expensive Cuisine. Now, the following day, Friday, February 16, join us along with Palestinian Youth Movement and Brik by Brik for a discussion of colonialism and imperialism in the context of Canada, South Asia, the Philippines, and Palestine. It will start at 6 p.m. with catering by the Curry Collective. For more information, you can check out their Instagram at Brik by Brik. And after that, if you're new to Montreal or you're trying to find new friends, this event is perfect for you. This Saturday, February 17, the fourth edition of Expansion Montreal from 5 to 8 p.m. It's going to be a night of community building, love, and expansion, introducing speed friending. The intention behind this experience is to connect participants to one another by answering questions provided by the hosts. For more info for this free event open to everyone, visit their Instagram page at Big Daddy Queen Power. And just remember to register early before seats run out. And after that, we fast forward to Monday, February 19. BCRC's intergenerational program will be hosting a poetry club to acknowledge and honor the significant contributions made by Black people to Canadian society and culture. The club will take place every Monday in February from 6 to 7 p.m. and will touch on topics such as identity, self-love, and our past/future. To sign up, visit their Instagram account at BCRCMTL. Also, jumping forward a bit, mark your calendar. Chalet Kent and Exico organized together to implement a collective project for you and your community while developing your skills on February 23 from 5 to 7 p.m. Snacks will be provided during this activity. If you want to know more, visit their Instagram account at Chalet Kent. Finally, starting March 15 to 16, Black Symposium Noir will be held at Maison de la Culture Côte des Neiges. The conference program features selected paper presentations and roundtables grounded in this year's theme, Black Radical Thought and Praxis in Montreal. Stay tuned to be in the know. And that's it for community announcements, and it definitely sounds like it's going to be a very busy week. Signing off, once again, this is Fenny Cristo, and shouts to our hosts, France, Desiree, and Vero, our sound engineer, Laura, and our guest today, Omalani Alarcon. Wishing all our listeners a happy Wednesday, and tune in next week from 2 to 3 p.m. on 90.3 FM CKUT as we continue to celebrate Black History Month. Till next time, peace.
Liberation for one is liberation for all of us. Tuloy ang laban.
Hey, this is Sasha Frere Jones from Uwe. You're listening to 90.3 FM CKUT, Montreal.
What's going on, y'all? It's your girl, Miss Ben, and it's Black History Month, so you know we'll be kicking it every Tuesday right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Every Tuesday from 3 to 5, I bring to you Heal, Black Girl Heal, where we discuss some in-depth conversations with those that got some things going on within the Black community. And let's not forget about all of the plentiful activities that you need to keep up to date with. So do not forget, each and every Tuesday for the month of February, right here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
De ton ami qui saignait du nez après qu'il soit rentré dans une porte patio fermée, sans rire de lui?
Évidemment.
Avec ton empathie, tu as de l'avenir en santé et services sociaux. Trouve ta place sur québec.ca/carrière en santé. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Black Theater Workshop presents the world premiere of Diggers by Donna Michelle St. Bernard. Abdul and Solomon introduce Newbie Bai to the intricacies and dignity of grave digging. But when illness hits their town, they must make the best of a bad situation. Full of song, laughter, tears, and beautiful humanity, Diggers is a tribute to essential workers. Catch Diggers at the Siegel Center Studio from February 1st to the 17th. Get your tickets at siegelcenter.org or call 514-739-7944. More information at blacktheaterworkshop.ca. This is a Black Theater Workshop and Prairie Theater Exchange co-production and CKUT co-presentation. Black Theater Workshop presents the world premiere of Diggers by Donna Michelle St. Bernard. Abdul and Solomon introduce Newbie Bai to the intricacies and dignity of grave digging. But when illness hits their town, they must make the best of a bad situation. Full of song, laughter, tears, and beautiful humanity, Diggers is a tribute to essential workers. Catch Diggers at the Siegel Center Studio from February 1st to the 17th. Get your tickets at siegelcenter.org or call 514-739-7944. More information at blacktheaterworkshop.ca. This is a Black Theater Workshop and Prairie Theater Exchange co-production and CKUT co-presentation.
TD and Production Nuit d'Afrique present Women of the World Raise Their Voices. 5 special concert evenings from February 1st to March 8th. Don't miss the grand premiere. Lidl's Cameroonian Slam, Brazilian songwriter Bia Pereira, Lorraine Classen's 40-year career anniversary, The Roots Daughters Sound System, and Cora Virtuoso, Sona Jobarte. Discover the full program on festivalnuitafrique.com. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Hydro-Québec cherche du monde pour travailler cet été comme guide dans ses centrales et centres d'interprétation partout au Québec. Du monde qui a envie de faire partie d'une équipe énergique qui contribue à changer le monde. Du monde qui souhaite vivre une expérience inoubliable qui ouvre des portes.